wanted to thank the organizers for the opportunity to present on the U.S. PVP system. What I thought I'd do is give you an overview of intellectual property protection in the United States, the framework features of PVP, plant variety protection, how it's done, what the application process is, exemptions under PVP, statistics of what the office has done, and items for the future. Plant variety protection in the United States is under the Department of Agriculture, and the other form of intellectual property protection in the United States is plant patents, which Kittesee, Dr. Supakinda, will talk about, plant patents and utility patents, which is under the Department of Commerce within the Patent and Trademark Office. The U.S. PVP system was a system put in place to create an incentive for innovation for plant breeders by providing protection to those who breed or discover and develop varieties. What is eligible for PVP is those which are seed reproduced or sexually reproduced, tuber propagated such as potatoes, and also hybrid varieties are protectable under the PVP system. To be eligible for plant variety protection in the United States, a variety must be new, that's sold for less than 1 year within the country or less than 4 years outside the country, clearly distinct from all other varieties, uniform in that all the plants look alike, and stable in that it reproduces true to type. The main key features of U.S. PVP system is the variety must be new, distinct, uniform, and stable, as I just mentioned. The plants must be sexually reproducible or tuber propagated. A variety name is required under the U.S. PVP system, but we are not a registry, so we don't do variety registration. We require the variety to have a name. There's a requirement for a deposit of a propagation of propagation material, be it seeds or in vitro samples for potatoes. These are stored at the Fort Collins USDA National Center for Genetic Resource Preservation, or NCGRP as we call it. The seeds or tuber propagated material is available only with the applicant's permission through the PVP office when the variety is still under protection, but it becomes publicly available after the certificate expires. So there's a benefit to the public in that upon expiration, the breeder of the variety gives up all their rights to the variety and it becomes publicly available. We also required the payment of fees of $4,382 for the filing examination and $768 upon issuance. So it's $5,150 total paid up. There are no maintenance fees. Most other countries in the world who have a PVP or a plant breeder rights office do have annual fees or maintenance fee. The U.S. PVP system does not. The average application processing time is down to less than 2 years from the date of filing to issuance. This typically has ranged anywhere from 3 months to 4 years, but the office has really become productive. And I think our average for this last year was about 1.6 years, so it's fairly fast turnaround time. The things which are included are fungi, bacteria, and plants that are not reproducible by seeds or tubers. We've got calls to the office is, I can provide you with 3,000 cuttings of a variety. Can I get protection? And no, unless it can be seed reproduced, true to type, you cannot. So it has to be seed reproducible. And for priority in the United States, it's the first to file as contrasted to the first event. This is the same in the United States as in any UPOV country, UPOV being the Union for the Intellectual Property Protection of New Plant Varieties, which the United States is a member. The extent of protection for U.S. PVP is it extends to plant parts, so flowers and fruit are protected, and essentially derived plants are protected. The owner has the right to exclude others from selling or marketing. Conditioning for sale, that's getting it ready for sale before the protection is expired, reproducing it, importing it, or exporting it, or using the variety to produce a hybrid. So you cannot use a protected variety as one of the parents of a hybrid. The duration of protection is 20 years from the date of issuance, or 25 years for vines and trees. There is also provisional protection while the application is in the office. So from the date the application is accepted until issuance, then 20 years thereafter, there is as much protection when the application is in the office and being reviewed as if the certificate of protection had issued. The enforcement for PVP is initiated by the PVP variety holder, the breeder, the owner. There's no enforcement from the office itself. In most cases, litigation has rarely been required. We have not seen many cases come forth to us or heard about many cases of infringement. It's the U.S. PVP system is fairly strong and fairly well regarded. There is systems in place under U.S. PVP for contest, protest proceedings, and appeals. A priority contest is the process for determining the question of priority between breeders claiming the discovery of the same variety. In the 14 years I've been in the office, I've never had a priority contest. A protest is the opposition to the granting of the PVP while the application is in the office or the first 5 years following issuance. I think in the 14 years I've been commissioner, we've heard three or four protest positions. Appeal to the commissioner is a reconsideration of an action by the a PVP examiner, so they can appeal to me if the examiner's made a decision and they disagree with that. And then if I still uphold the examiner's decision, they can appeal to the Secretary of Agriculture following the denial by the commissioner. And I think we've had about three of these occur since I've been around. The process for filing PVP in the United States is breeder-based. We depend upon the breeder to go out there in the field and collect the results and submit them to us through a form which has the owner's name, if it's a hybrid, if there is any transgenic material present in the variety. We ask for a breeding history, so the recipe of how the variety was created, what were the parents. The Exhibit A attests to uniformity and stability. We ask for how the breeder of the variety considers their variety distinct from the most similar variety with any supporting evidence. We ask for a very detailed objective description, Exhibit C that I'll discuss in a little bit more detail after this, that essentially is what we want the breeder to collect as much information since we can't go out to the field. They are our eyes and go out to the field for us and collect that information. Any additional information is in the Exhibit D, and the basis of ownership of who created the variety and how is it owned is the Exhibit D. We ask for 3,000 seeds with a germination of 85% or better, untreated. They must be provided to a depository within 3 months of filing or before the certificate issues, and then the payment of fees. The Exhibit C, which I just described previously, is the botanical description of the variety. This is essentially the field trial that most other plant breeders' rights PVP offices through the world do. We have the breeder do this and collect it. The breeder knows their varieties very well, so they can go out there and collect them. They've lived with them for years of creating them, so they have a very good feeling for what is the description of the variety. We do this by having crop-specific forms. So corn will have its own form, soybean has its own form. We have some 100-plus forms for the major varieties that are submitted to the office. This information is entered in a database. It's used to describe the variety by the breeder, and we use this to independently confirm distinctness by doing a database search, which this shows you the number of records within some of the databases as of 2013. So we're characterizing many, many varieties and trying to distinguish a new incoming variety for soybean from 4,289 varieties that are in the database. So we're independently confirming the distinctness. Once we've determined the variety is new, distinct, uniform, and stable, we tell the variety owner, the breeder, and a certificate of protection is issued. There are exemptions under the U.S. PVP system, a crop exemption in that farmers can save seed for use in the farm but cannot transfer to the others. This is Section 113 of the law. I do have three copies of the law here if anyone's interested in it. along with the background of the PVP office. I think I have about 15 of those, so background information on the office. There's also a research exemption that others can use the variety in plant breeding or research to create new varieties. And one thing very unique to the USPVP system that it's we have an advisory board who advises the office is Section 44 of the law of the PVP Act, which allows the Secretary of Agriculture to declare a variety open for public use when the Secretary determines that such declaration is necessary. So if a variety is so important to U.S. agriculture that it needs to be distributed freely, the Secretary can make that determination. An overview of what the office has received. We had a very large inventory or backlog back in 2011 that the office has really worked at decreasing by having a great deal of processing. So the green line shows you the inventory. Red line incoming, we typically receive anywhere from 450 to 550 applications per year. And we are now processing on the order of 500 plus applications a year. So the office is extremely productive. Overall statistics of the office since its inception, the USPVP law was put into place in 1970. It's received over 13,000 applications. We've issued over 10,000 certificates of protection. Currently, there are about 7,000 certificates in force. Some of those have the applications have been abandoned, and we have some applications still in progress. For the future, we are looking at two areas of having an electronic application system. Currently, applicants file for protection on a paper-based system, but we are working on the development of an electronic filing system, calling it ePVP. That would provide the stakeholders with an efficient system and our staff with electronic examination system. The problem right now is we have to key information that breeders provide us into our databases. We think if the breeder themselves keys this information, the variety owner, it'll be much more efficient. And we're also exploring the use of molecular markers for PVP through our advisory working group. This is a group that provides findings to the Plant Variety Board, our advisory board. The board will be meeting in Chicago in about 3 weeks at the American Seed Trade Association Corn, Sorghum, and Soybean meeting. It's open to the public, so anyone is free to attend that meeting. It's at the Hyatt in Chicago. And so we're looking at molecular markers, and these will be discussions that will be brought up before the board of how we're what we're doing with regard to electronic applications and molecular marker usage. And you can find out more information about the office by talking to me. This is our website, and I also have some pamphlets on the PVP office and a few copies of the law. So thank you.
We do have time for one question for Dr. Vankowski, and then, of course, there'll be a panel.
It's as long as it's seed reproduced. That is the main criteria. So I think it's sexually reproduced, but apomictically, I think we have had some. Yeah. I think we'd have to look into that a little bit more closely. I mean, what would be the example of what species? We do issue PVP for Kentucky bluebird grass. So, yes.
So, for the study, collect the water data. How many plants for each variety we can collect on?
It will be. We have criteria within our forms, so it's. We've worked with UPOV, the international organization, which has criteria, but it can be anywhere from 20 to 100. We typically require 2 years or two locations to prove uniformity stability. So we want consistency of results over those 2 years or two locations. Sure.
All right.